So today we're going to be in the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 13. And we're going to be looking at verses 31 through 38. John chapter 13, verses 31 through 38. Therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately." Now, before we go any further, let's just back up one slide. Before we go any further with that, I was doing this, reading this passage recently with someone who that I know, a few people that I know, very close. And as soon as we read this verse right here, these two verses, the response was, "Huh?" Now, do you see why these two verses would give you that kind of a response? Because listen to this again. When he said, "Therefore, when we had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately.'" Now, do you understand why somebody would say, "Huh? Yeah. That doesn't make much sense." So we're going to go over that a little bit before we go to the rest of the passage, which is which has a lot of great truth in it, but specifically just this, that's what's happening. This is happening right after Jesus washes the disciples' feet. It's right after the Last Supper. It's right after the betrayal. Judas betrays. Judas walks out on everybody, and everybody knows that he's the one that's going to betray. That's when this is taking place. And so when Jesus comes out, he looks to the disciples, and he explains, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." Interesting, isn't it? He says, "Now." And then those two verses, he says, actually, "Immediately." So there's this understanding that what's happening is that now Jesus is glorified. He's coming out. It's almost like he's saying, "Okay, it's done. Now I'm being glorified." As if beforehand he wasn't, at least not in this way, because this was just a different manifestation. But what's happening here is the idea that, remember when Jesus at the Last Supper, and John points this out, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And do you remember what Jesus said about being a servant? What Jesus said about a servant versus the master, and how Jesus came and he reversed everything, right? Jesus just came and just made everything reversed. It was, whatever was up was down, whatever was in was out. Everything was completely reversed. And Jesus said that he who is last shall be first. And so that's why in this scene before this, at the Last Supper, Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. Simon gets all upset and says, no, you're not washing my feet, you're the master. And Simon says, "No, this has to be because the servant, you know, whoever is the greatest among you, he has to be your servant," and Jesus was the servant. So it was almost as if this taking place, him being the servant, Judas walking out, the betrayal taking place, now is bringing Jesus to the point where he's coming in and he's saying, "Okay, now, this is it, the Son of Man," he's referring to himself, "I am being glorified, I am glorified." Jesus is definitely telling us in this passage that, number one, he's claiming to be God. He's saying that I am God. But let's again, I know this is going to be monotonous a little bit, but as we go through this, he says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." So we've changed that to "me" as Jesus is talking. So Jesus is saying, now I am glorified, and God is glorified in me. If God is glorified in me, God will also glorify me in himself and will glorify me immediately. Kind of puts it in another context, Jesus using those that pronoun, saying that I'm talking about myself, that I'm being glorified. And so this is his connection, explaining that he is God, nobody else is God, and that God is going to glorify him, that now he's glorifying me. We're not waiting for anything else to happen, but it's happening immediately. And so he's letting them know, he's telling all of them, "This is it, guys, I am it. There is nobody else to look for. Hey, I'm the Messiah. I came. Stop waiting. Stop looking for somebody else. It's me. It's me." And I don't know what tone Jesus had with them at this point, but something tells me that there might have been a tone of maybe a little bit of raising his voice, maybe a little bit of, guys, come on, are you getting this yet? Come on, do you see? Do you understand? You ever had an experience that you thought was just so amazing and you were trying to share it with somebody who didn't care? Right? You went to something and it was just amazing and you couldn't believe it and, oh, I can't believe it. And then you go home and say, oh, I got to tell you how amazing this was. And you tell them the whole thing and then they don't even stop what they're doing and they say, Oh, but it was amazing. You should have been there. You would have loved it. You're not getting it. That's kind of the tone that's happening here with Jesus. With Jesus, there's this emphaticness of Jesus coming in saying that I am, this is it, guys. I'm going to be glorified. And in fact, I'm glorified in the Father, and the Father's glorified in me. And this is going to happen immediately, that I'm going to be glorified as the Son of God. I am the Messiah, the Son of God. I am being glorified. This is it. Glorified has many meanings, but the basic meaning is that he's worshiped, he's praised, he's recognized as the One. This is it. I'm going to be recognized as this, and not only am I going to be, but I am right now, immediately. So then he moves on. He says, little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So he moves from the whole idea that, hey, I'm the Son of God, this is it, and then he tells them, this is what you are to do. This is what you should do. You know how many times I have heard that? If God would just tell me what to do, it'd be so much easier, right? If I would just know what to do. Well, here it is, right here. He defines discipleship right here, and he says, this is what I want you to do. I'm being glorified, I'm going to be glorified, and I am glorified in the Father and in me, and I'm glorified immediately right now. I am glorified, I'm the One, so this is what I'm going to tell you to do. I'm not going to be with you much longer, so here are my instructions. Very simple. Love one another. Back up a slide. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, the whole issue of love is interesting, isn't it? Because love is just one of those terms, as we've talked about before. It is thrown around all over the place, right? Love you. Yeah. I love you. I think I'm falling in love. I love my wife, I love my kids, I love cool weather, I have no love for this humidity we've been having the last few days, zero love. I was out Friday morning around 6 a.m. walking the dogs and I felt like I was walking through a sponge. Yes, it is not, I use that term for the weather. Do you? Yeah. Boy, don't you just love this weather? Yeah. Boy, I love this burger. It's amazing, right? That's a term in our English language. We use it for many different things, and it all has to do with the context around it, right? Because you would hope that with the love that I have for the burger is a little different than the love I have for my wife. She would hope for that as well, but I don't know. That's a good burger. No, I'm joking. No. But anyway, the whole idea of when Jesus says love, that's why in the church world, we always put the brakes on anytime Jesus says love and says, wait a minute, let me tell you what he's really saying. He's not saying what you think he's saying every time he says love. He's not talking about falling in love. He's not talking about loving the weather. He's not talking about loving your food. And it's even a step deeper than how many use the term with their relationships with their wife or husband or with their kids. Because when he uses this term, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The first thing is he's telling them that you love each other. Well, how are we supposed to do that, Jesus? The way that I did it for you. Now, if you begin to think about how much Jesus loved them and the ultimate sacrifice he gave to them, he died on the cross, he poured his life out, he died. He could not have shown them any greater love, right? There is no greater love than that. He poured his life out. Put him on the cross, innocent man, doesn't matter. Go ahead, you can kill me on the cross, doesn't matter. Why? Why are you doing this? Because I love them. And he did this for all of you. And he's telling the disciples, you are to love one another the way that I love you. Interesting point, isn't it? Because the term in the Greek, you've heard it before, it's the agape love. And every time Jesus uses the word love, it's always the agape. And agape means it's the selfless love. It's there's no selfishness involved. There isn't the idea of I love you and so that you love me. And if you don't love me, I'm going to stop loving you. No, there's nothing like that. There's nothing like I scratch your back, you scratch mine. Nothing like that. He's not doing that. He's just his self is completely out of the way. My life, it's not about me. I love you just because I'm giving of myself. And that this is the selfless love. It is no longer about me. Which is why the scene right before this, what did he do? He got down on his knees and washed the disciples' feet to show them how much he loved them. Because in that culture, the whole issue was the feet got dirty a lot in that culture, and Jesus knelt down as a servant. The servant is the one who would do it, which is why Simon got all upset and said, Jesus, why are you doing this? You're not a servant. He says, yes, I am. And he showed him how much he loved him of what he was willing to do for Simon, and it didn't matter. He was even willing to wash his feet. And then he tells them, so love one another the same way that I have loved you. That's pretty convicting, isn't it? Because I would think that if we were honest, I mean, you know, if we were honest, that's sad to have to say that, but if we were honest, I would think that some of us, maybe most of us, maybe all of us would have some inkling to say, wow, I don't think I love everybody that way. Right? Because you're really talking about some deep love there, Chad. I mean, you're talking about giving up your life and sacrificing and pouring your life out and surrendering, and it's all about them and it's no longer about you. And you get this whole idea of, wow, do I really? And that's what this passage leads to, is do I really love others the way that Jesus loves others? And before we go any further, we do have some clarifications to make, because a lot of times we think we know what this love looks like, but we really don't, because the problem is the only way to understand what this love looks like is to look at Jesus himself and look at how he acted and looked at how he treated people. And you see that Jesus, a lot of times we think, well, if I love like Jesus, that means I'm a doormat and they just walk over me. Not necessarily, because when Jesus hit the Pharisees, it was head on, man. And he was in their face. When Jesus walked into that temple, he overturned the money changers. He made a whip out of cords and he said, get out of here. Many of us would say that's not Christ-like. Which it was Christ-like, because Christ was doing it. So it's not about a particular attitude that if I'm passive, that means I'm loving like Jesus. No, what it is that what Jesus did was in every situation, he did what was best for the person involved. Whatever they needed. The woman at the well, he talked to her the way she needed to be talked to. The woman caught in adultery, he talked to her the way she needed to be talked to. The ones who drug her in front of him, he talked to them the way they needed to be talked to. Jesus did what was best for the individual in every situation, and not every situation was the same. Sometimes he had to be firm. Sometimes he had to scold them. Sometimes he had to kick them out. Sometimes he had to hug them. It just all depends. See, there's no way to characterize this of, well, being Christ-like means I'm just passive. No, that's not true. Being Christ-like is the idea I'm doing what is best for each individual in that situation, what is best for them, not what is best for me. Because if Jesus would have done what was best for him, look at how things would have been so much different. If he would have done what is best for him, he would have had protection. He would have had the security guards. He would have called down the angels. He would have made sure nobody got near him. No, it wasn't what's best for him. Jesus was never thinking about what's best for him. He was only thinking about what's best for everybody else. That's all he ever thought about. And there was not one instance that he went away from that, whether he was scolding, whether he was kicking them out, whether he was confronting, or whether he was hugging them. It doesn't matter. He did what was best in every situation. So that's what it means. The idea of agape love is doing what's best for the person in every situation, not what's best for me, but what's best for them. Now that we have all that settled, we just solved the world's problems, didn't we? That's our goal every Sunday, right? We solve the world's problems. By the time I'm done, we solve all the world's problems, and then that world just causes more, then we have to come back here next Sunday and solve them again. But there's something more to this passage, and before we go to the rest of the passage, I just have a question for you. Have you ever been in a situation where you were explaining something to somebody and they just didn't get it? Right? And taking that a step further, have you ever explained something to somebody, and maybe there were, say, 3 points or 4 points that you wanted to get, and for some reason you said the second point, and they never got past that, and they never heard points 3 and 4 because they got stuck on that, and their mind never went there. See, I'm not going to ask if that ever happens in here, because I'm sure it doesn't, right? Right? Whew. That was a bold laugh. Good grief. Wow. But how many of you are teachers of any type or who have ever taught? Anybody here? Anybody? Okay, hands up all over. Has that ever happened to you? It just seems like you're not getting it. One of the best illustrations I have, when I was in college, I was a huge fan of this duo. Huge fan. Their names are Bert and Ernie. Yes, I never grew out of Bert and Ernie. I loved Bert and Ernie. They were on my keychain in college, Bert and Ernie. And one time, I didn't have Bert yet. I only had Ernie on my keychain. And our resident director who lived there, he had a son. Him and his wife lived there in the dorm, and they were the managers of the dorm and everything. And they had a son. I think the son was maybe 5 or 6. And he loved my keychain. He loved my keychain so much that one day in the college cafeteria, he decided to take it and just run around and never give it back to me. As he's hiding in the corners over here. Okay, come on. Okay, it's funny. Okay, we're done now. Come on. Give me my keys. No. And then he ran over here again. And then he ran over here again. And so he just loved that keychain. There was one time he was sitting there with me, and his dad knew about it. His dad got a kick out of the fact I still have Bert and Ernie and all of that. So he's looking at my keychain. He's like 5 or 6, and he goes, "Is this Ernie?" I said, "Yep, it's Ernie." "You don't have Bert?" I said, "Nope, don't have Bert." "Is this Ernie?" "Yeah, it's Ernie." "You don't have Bert?" "Nope, don't have Bert." "Is this Ernie?" "Yes." "You don't have Bert?" "No, don't have Bert." "Is this Ernie?" "Yes." "And you don't have Bert?" "No, don't have Bert." Anybody ever experienced something like that? Right? And on the inside, I wasn't a parent yet, so I didn't have much patience, but I did control this. But on the inside, I wanted to say, "You're not getting it, kid. Listen, this is Ernie, right? Bert isn't here, right?" Now, that's with kids, right? But have you ever had that with any age where someone just, they're just not, and especially if you give them too many points to remember, they can't get past 2 because this is the biggest one. Why am I saying this? Because that's exactly what happened with the disciples. Jesus just told them something amazing. This is incredible, isn't it? Jesus, he has this last supper with them. He washes their feet. Judas leaves. He's betraying them. The disciples are like, oh my goodness, Judas has actually left. Who is it? Who's going to betray you? This is in the same chapter, same thing happening. And Judas leaves, and then Jesus speaks this incredible statement. Glorify. I am now glorified. I'm going to be glorified in the Father. The Father is going to be glorified in me, and I'm going to be glorified now. And glorified immediately. So my instructions to you are, I'm not going to be with you much longer. So my instructions to you are, love one another as I have loved you. And did you catch what he said? By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If you do this, this is what I'm asking. Jesus is giving them his passion. He's, I'm not going to be with you. Here's the direction. Here's the game plan. Please catch on. Next slide. Just read it. I don't even have to say it yet. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Okay, that was like how many points ago, Peter? I mean, he did say that, yeah, but that was in the middle of glorify. The Father's going to be glorified in me, and the Father, immediately. I am God. I am the Savior. I am the Messiah. I'm the one you've been waiting for. I'm not going to be with you much longer, so make sure to love one another the way that I have loved you. This is how everybody's going to know you're my disciples, if you love one another. Any questions? Yeah, Jesus, so where are you going? Now, why didn't somebody, or Simon, or some disciple, why wasn't the question, Jesus, how do we love the way you? Isn't that amazing? Yeah, it gets worse, trust me. This is what happened. He says, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later. Verse 37, Peter said to him, Lord, why cannot I follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Think about that for a moment. He just gave him the instructions. Why does he have to brag about, if you love one another the way that I love you, which is selfless, Simon's like, hey, Jesus, what about me? Where are you going? I'm going with you, right? I've always been your right-hand man. Come on. I'm going with you. No, you can't come. Just no, you can't. Well, why not? That doesn't make any sense. Why not? I'll lay down my life for you. Jesus says, all right, fine. You want to go there? You just poke the bear? Here we go. Well, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later. Verse 37, Peter said to him, Lord, why cannot I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus says, all right, next slide. Jesus answered, You will lay your life down for me? Question mark. Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. In other words, Simon, shut up. You missed what I was just trying to. You teachers understand this, don't you? I've had it happen over the years from time to time. Somebody will say, they'll say, man, Pastor, that was a great sermon. And then sometimes they'll go to another step and they'll say, when you said this, I thought, and I'm saying in my mind, I was like, that is not at all what I meant. Ever happened to you as a teacher when you? That's exactly what happened here. Jesus just spoke amazing truth. Glorify. I am now glorified. I just washed your feet. I am now glorified. Father in me. I am the Father. I'm going to be glorified immediately. I'm going to go away. And for some reason, that was it. As soon as he said, I'm going to go away, the disciples were like, what? And they missed the whole part about love one another as I have loved you. And this is how they're going to know you're my disciples, is if you love one another. Because all Simon was concerned about, yeah, but I'm still in, right, Jesus? No. In fact, that isn't even the subject, Simon. The subject is you loving one another the way that I love you. That's the subject. The subject is you giving up. The subject is you surrendering. The subject is you loving in the same way that the subject is that when people see you, they should see me. And if you haven't noticed, Simon, I'm never about. I'm always about doing what's best for those around me, not just for. He just demonstrated this to them, didn't he? He just washed their feet, demonstrating this, and this, the concern was still, yeah, but I'm still in, right? I'm one of your right. Why is this important? Well, I think it's important because I think that it's easy for us to forget the instructions that Jesus gave us. Love one another as I have loved you. It's easy to forget that, isn't it? Because the same way it was easy for the disciples to overlook the fact that he said that, that's kind of what we do as well. And what motivates us overlooking that is because it seems like if I can make sure I have my ticket to heaven, that's all I care about. That's all I want. Just tell me I'm going to heaven and I'm not going to hell. That's good. I'm in. Well, what about how you love one another the way he... That's fine. Yeah, we can work on that, but I'm still going to heaven, right? That's what Simon's saying. Lord, why can't I go with you? I'll lay down my life for you. Jesus said, no, you won't. You didn't even just hear what I said about loving one another. And sometimes it is so easy for us to forget about this truth because we fall into this trap of the idea of, well, as long as I can get to heaven, that's all that matters because I don't want to go to hell. And sometimes, not all the time, and sometimes that's what we use to justify if we're not loving the way he loves. You're not loving the way he loves you. Yeah, but I'm going to heaven. But Jesus' instructions were to love the way that he loves you. And I guess my question for you today is this. Where have we missed that? And I may be wrong on this, and notice how I'm asking the question. I'm not asking you if we've missed it. I'm asking where did we miss it? Because when we look around the world and the culture, how many of us have seen his love from others? And even in the church world, do we see his love? And the profound truth that he said when he made the statement, this is how they're going to know that you follow me, was when they see the same love that I gave you coming out of me. So this is what he was doing. He said, I'm not going to be here anymore, but guess what? The game is going to continue on. Well, how is this going to continue on? Because you guys are going to do what I did for you. In other words, when people see you, they're going to say, wow, you remind me of him. Wow, I thought Jesus died. Who are you again? I always thought it would be the best compliment in the world if somebody ever made the mistake and thought you were Jesus. Wouldn't that be great if somebody just said, are you Jesus? That's the whole instruction for us. Yes, there's theology about getting to heaven and hell. Yes, I understand. You forgive sins and the redemption and the atoning sacrifice. Yeah, we can get into all of that. And there's debates on all that. Yeah, that's fine. But don't overlook it the way the disciples did. They were so taken off by the fact that Jesus is leaving. Well, I'm going to be there, right? They were so into that so much that the way they acted amongst each other, that didn't matter. We can argue together about which one of us is the greatest. That's fine. It doesn't matter because I'm the one going with Jesus. But your behavior should exemplify him if you're saying or going to claim or profess that you are following him. Your behavior should show the same love that he has shown you. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your word and for your truth. And for everything that you mean to us. And God, we ask you today, as the psalmist said, that you would search our hearts and search our souls and see if there is any wicked way in us, and that you would lead us in the way everlasting. Lord, we're not here just to get a ticket to heaven. We're here so that we can be what you desire us to be. And Lord, the question for all of us today is, Lord, when people see me, do they see Jesus? When people hear me, do they hear Jesus? When people are just around me, are they just sensing Jesus? The love that Jesus had to do what is best for everyone else but yourself. Lord, show each of us what this means. We ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus.